7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Happy Sunday, Croc Nation. Dr. Tommy and Ellie here with another podcast. Angel Santana, have faith. Let it begin on the other side of the computer glass. Angel, how the heck you doing?
Happy fall, my friend.
Is it officially fall?
I think so. Even if it's not on the calendar, it sure as heck is outside feeling like fall.
You know, this is where the Hudson Valley really shows its colors, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely. The foliage.
One of the most beautiful parts of the world this time of year. We're all very lucky to be here. But if you're a survivor in San Diego, in Tacoma, Washington, in Houston, Texas, in Kansas City, wherever Kansas City, Missouri is, in Bangor, Maine, in Tampa, Florida, or in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, I'm afraid this is the place to be.
Absolutely. When I used to work for AAA, this was a very big time of year where we do what they call triptychs so that we can get people to do the foliage, driving. This is big time year.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I have some more news for you, Angel, besides talking about the weather and the change of seasons and the beautiful Hudson Valley. We're actually going to make a bit of a change in the podcast, and we'll do an actual podcast on the change to the podcast. But we're going to be moving away from the module and course, format, and just kind of doing more supportive and free-flowing podcasts. I think that you and I have a good relationship, a good rapport, a good banter going. And I think that the survivors are really enjoying those podcasts. So we're going to start with a interesting podcast, I hope, about what's your relationship with your doctor, what your doctor means to you, and what you mean to your doctor. So, Angel, you have about 700 doctors you go to. What is your relationship, more not for the specialists and the psychiatrists, the team of psychiatrists that you have working on you, but more to the point, the doctors that you see often. What are you thinking about when you walk into, a doc's office?
I got to be honest. All the doctors that are in place, I look forward to seeing them. I actually have appointments this week. And when I get those calls to remind me that there's an appointment, I get excited because I've got a very good rapport with them.
And it's kind of funny because, but I actually go a little deeper. So when you go in to see them, like, what do you think? Like, what is your view of when they see you and when they walk into the room? And, do you have a fantasy, like a patient fantasy? And I don't mean that in a weird stalker way. I mean, do you have a feeling that you mean something to that doctor? Do you have a feeling that they know you and care about you? Do you have a feeling that they're out for your best interest and know something about you?
Absolutely. I've been very, very lucky since the age of 18 to have a primary care doctor that when I walk in, the wife is there, the head executive assistant knows me, asks me how my family's doing. And just the interaction before I'm even looked at, between the primary care doctor and myself, it's awesome because there are times I'll sit down and he'll remind me of things that I forgot that I had told him. And so he's up to date with everything that happens to me, not to mention that he still calls me even in between my previous appointment and when my next appointment, just to see how things are going. And I wasn't even sick.
I love it. How about on the personal side? Do they know about your personal life?
Absolutely. Always ask how my kids are doing. Wants to know how my parents are doing. Just wants to know how my personal life is doing. In addition to my job.
I love it. That's exactly what we're going to get to today. So when I was 17, I was a little late for tonsils, but I had some issues with my tonsils and I had to get my tonsils out. So I was old enough to know a little bit about life. And I went in to see the ENT, I drove myself and I went to see him. And he said, okay, Tom, we're going to set you up for your tonsils and we're going to do it here at St. Joe's in Patterson. And here's when you got to show up and here's your pre-surgical testing and all that. And I remember being wheeled into the operating room, and I was really, really afraid. And I saw my doctor, and I thought, wow, he knows me. He knows who I am, and you know, all that type of thing. But really, he didn't. I mean, you know, he didn't have any clue as to who I was. I was just probably the third tonsillectomy of the morning. And he probably did about 300 tonsillectomies that week. And, you know, he had no idea who I was. So what we're going to talk about today is what your doctor means to you and what you mean to your doctor. And we're going to kind of go behind the scenes. We're going to break down that fourth wall, they call it in acting, where the actors aren't supposed to leave their character. They're supposed to stay in character. But every once in a while, they'll kind of, you know, either if you watch a sitcom or a Saturday Night Live, they might start laughing and break character. Or you watch a Woody Allen movie and they kind of break the fourth wall all the time. So we're going to kind of go behind the scenes because, unfortunately, the beautiful story that and relationship that Angel has with his doctor is not always shared with other people. That's not the usual relationship that people have with their doctors. And you have to realize that behind the scenes, you know, your doctors, your nurses, your caregivers, we're human. We have human frailties. We have human, shortcomings. We get tired. We have to go pee. We're hungry. We've been up early. We have 300 things to do, all high stress, high stakes decisions to make. And many times when your doctor walks in, they really don't know who you are. They don't really remember. I remember going to a doctor recently for the second time. And the last time, by the way, I was, since I hit my sixth decade, I thought it would be good to see a cardiologist. So I went in, and the first time he was pretty decent, you know, trying to get to know me a little bit. And when I came in the second time, only a few months later, he had no idea who I was. He had no idea what I was doing there. And that will be the last time I ever walk in that office. So I just wanted to let, you know, the people know that sometimes what you feel isn't what you're getting back. And I think that's wrong. And that's what we're going to talk about. And we have touched on this subject. We talked about getting to know your patients, and we talk about the essence of your patient, how a patient, you know, should be known personally. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. So I think that what I'm trying to say is we, as the people taking care of you, we should try to fulfill this fantasy. I know that many people come to me and they're really excited to meet me. They'll say, you know, somebody so-and-so, you treated them 30 years ago. They said hello, or their daughter said hello, and you treated them really well. And I try to remember, because every single person that walks in the door, you know, that's a great privilege that we have. You know, that is absolutely that's almost a sacred trust that they're giving you. They can go anywhere they want. We live close enough to New York City, one of the biggest cities, if not the biggest city in the world, with some of the best hospitals in the world, some of the best cancer hospitals in the world. But they come to you, or they come to me, they come to us, to my colleagues. They trust you. They are asked to tell you things that they probably wouldn't tell their best friends. Very intimate stuff. We have, you know, after meeting somebody for only 10 minutes, we can tell them to take off their clothes, or we could take away their control. When that Dr. Gingerelli took out my tonsils, what I basically trusted him with was that I trusted him to have me put to sleep and for him to take a sharp object and put it into my mouth and then, you know, basically, you know, tear up my oral pharynx and then put it back together and then wake me up without killing me. You know, that's a lot of trust that's placed in somebody's hands. And I think we should realize that. We should also realize that the person, the survivor that's sitting in that chair, everyone has to sit in that chair. It may not be us sitting in that chair that moment, but we will sit in that chair. It may not be for cancer. It might be for heart disease. It might be for diabetes or high blood pressure. It could be for pneumonia, it could be for COVID, it could be for, you know, pregnancy, it could be for a million different things. But I don't think we should lose track of that. And I wanted to go through a few things, Angel, because we don't just offer problems or point problems out. We try to come up with solutions. So today's episode is really more for our caregivers, telling them how they can sort of fulfill that fantasy to actually go a little deeper with their patients. So pursuant to our podcast on the essence of our patients, you should ask your patient before you even get into, you know, what they're there for, ask a little bit about them. And sometimes people really go, they take that question and they run with it. They're very happy to share their interests, their family, their marriage, their kids. They like to travel, their hobbies, their favorite colors, their favorite foods, what makes them them. And then there are others that you ask that same question and they look at you like, what are you asking me? You know, they start telling you about their medical problem. And I have to stop them. I say, I know about your medical problem. As a matter of fact, I know everything about your left breast, or I know everything about your prostate, or I know everything about your rectum, but I don't know anything about you. Tell me about you. And then you have to be a little more directed. You know, what makes you happy? Tell me about, do you have a family? What town do you live in? That's usually the first thing I'll say, because that's kind of a little less personal. It's like, okay, oh, you live in Cragsmoor. One of my favorite restaurants is in Cragsmoor. One of my favorite churches is in Cragsmoor. One of my favorite views of the Hudson Valley is in Cragsmoor. So, you know, you can start that way. So you get to know a little bit about the essence of your patient. Number two, read their chart. I mean, so many doctors walk into a room knowing nothing. It's not good. You really should know what you're walking into. You may not have everything. You may not have every single record or whatever, but you should have an idea of what that patient is, and you should have read the chart at the very least. And then review your schedule before your day starts, so you know exactly what's on your plate, how long you have to, you know, to spend with each person. Sometimes I might have a little more time in the beginning of the day or the end of the day, then there'll be some double bookings and things. So I know that I'll have to really work around that, maybe wait, do my charting later, things that will have you concentrate on your patient rather than concentrate on your computer or concentrate, you know, on trying to do a note. You know, that note can wait, you can do it later. Spend time with your patient, looking at their eyes, not looking at your computer. And then if you know the patient, it's someone who's known to you, then update your knowledge. You know, find out what's going on with them. You might have a mutual friend, or you might have, you know, somebody in the office might be neighbors with them. Hey, how's Joe doing? He's coming in today. Have you heard anything? We have navigators, right? So we have a lung navigator, a breast navigator, a head neck navigator, GI navigator. I might say to one of the navigators, you know, hey Jane, how's Joan doing? She's our lung patient. You know, she's been having some hard times. Is she doing a little better? Have you heard from her? Have you spoken to her? Oh, her husband's really sick. Her husband had a stroke. You know, her son had COVID, you know, and then you update your knowledge. And when they walk in and say, oh, Joan, how is your husband doing? How is he, you know, how's he recover? Oh, he had a complete recovery. He's doing fine. You know, they really appreciate that. And then this way, when they walk in, as I said, they come in, sometimes they ask, hey, how are the Mets doing? Or the Mets won last night. Or, you know, hey, did you see this? Or did you do this? Or have you watched the show? Or, you know, we saw so-and-so, mutual friends or whatever. So you want to, you know, hold up your end of the bargain, right? If they care that much about you, you better care that much about them and then some. So that's kind of what the episode is about. And then, as I said before, remember, one day you're going to be in that chair. And do you really want a doctor or a nurse or anyone to walk in like what happened to me on the second cardiology visit, where I spent 30 minutes for this guy getting to know me? And when I walked back in, you know, he didn't know why I was there. He goes, oh yeah, did we do something? I go, yeah, you put me on Crestar. Really? Oh, how'd we do? Well, if you look at your chart, you'll see that my results are amazing. It was great. You did a great job. Oh, okay. So what are we going to do now? Well, are we going to do a stress test? No, you don't need a stress test. You don't need anything. I go, okay, well, thank you for nothing. Here's a picture of me because you're never going to see me again. So, I'm hoping that if this podcast can trickle out to some of our caregivers, that would be fantastic. Because at the end of the day, Angel, our survivors deserve that. Actually, even beyond the survivors, everybody deserves it. But our survivors especially deserve it.
I agree completely. And, and we touched base in the beginning how I said that I have, a very good primary care doctor. I mean, I've had instances on my own where a doctor came in and just really was all about the laptop and making sure that he got every word documented. Like if he was, what do you call those guys that are in the court?
Like stenographers.
Yes. And that's what I felt like. I felt like every word, he wanted to make sure I got every word down, but he never looked eye contact with me. He never examined me and just said, well, let's look at this in the future. And I'm like, but you're not going to check it. And, long story short, I got rid of him, found somebody else, and I needed surgery.
Yeah.
So, you don't want to feel like a number. You want to feel as if you are a team. And I think that's the key. We talk about a cohesive.
Even beyond a team, being having a relationship, having a friendship.
Yeah. Definitely. Without a doubt.
Angel Santana, you like the direction we're going to go?
I think it's great. I think it's a great opportunity for us to really hone in on the fact that, we are people too. We're not just podcasters. We're not just people. We're, that are on the air. We are people that need to see doctors as well. And I think our listeners are going to appreciate that. And I'm encouraging each and every one of you out there that are listening. Dr. Tominelli is the doctor. I have the greatest joy of being a producer and a co-host and just talking on behalf of the people. But in reality, I'm not the voice. You are the voice. And I think that everyone should really take it upon yourself to reach out to us. And I want to point out one thing. There's a lot of shows out there, and I'm not knocking any other show. I'm just being realistic. Sometimes when you want to be heard, you feel like when you put your little tweet in or you know that there's a third party that's looking at it. That's not going to happen with Tom and I. When you put a comment, it's going to Tom and I. So you're not going to hear from anybody other than Tom and I. We have no assistance. We it's just us. So let your voices be heard. And we are always welcome on this show as well.
Absolutely. Our board of directors, we had a great meeting a couple of weeks ago. Miss everybody. Can't wait for our next board meeting. That's the new direction of the podcast. We'll have a podcast on that new direction soon. To our wonderful, wonderful Rod Freeman, Small Biz Up. Rod, you're going to be very instrumental in these changes and how these changes are projected and portrayed on the website to help our survivors navigate our podcast world and get caught up on some of the things that might interest them. Michael John Benzea, Charlotte Larson, for your support and belief in us. And to our survivors, it's pep talk time. You guys are some of the most brave and courageous and tough cookies in the entire world. Any doctor or nurse or caregiver that doesn't want to get to know you is missing an incredible piece of juicy life, a slice of the best metaphorical life pie in the world. You should absolutely get to be known. You should absolutely walk into a room and or have your doctor or nurse walk into the room and know exactly who you are, what you're all about, what's your favorite color, what's your favorite chewing gum. They should know everything about you. You're deserving of that. You are absolutely going through the fight of your life. You have been just knocked down from the minute you've been told by both emotionally, spiritually, by the cancer, by the treatments, by the diagnosis, psychologically, the dealing with the fear. And even if you're a survivor out there 20 years waiting for that mammogram, a couple of weeks before you start getting edgy, and then you get the test and then you're really edgy waiting for the results until you can breathe that sigh of relief that you're still okay, that your survivorship is intact. So because of all the special things that are associated with being a cancer survivor, We especially want to end our podcast by wishing you all a long, healthy, happy, and cancer-free life. God bless you. God be with you. Peace.